Twin Peaks, August 17th.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush.
3, 2, 1.
Boom. Contact established.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
Number 2, Out of Bounds, William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We're live in the Blue Ridge Security Solutions studios. BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Check them out today for all your security needs. You know, we have not done so far today. We have not done anything with the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. We've not updated the foursomes that we both have picked and how they're doing. I've not updated my FanDuel team, which is unbelievable. And Instagram, we've done it. Congratulations. Give yourselves a round of applause. We've done it. We've far surpassed 1,000. We've far surpassed 1,000. Yeah, we have. Get that second clap in. That was all you. Give yourself a big clap there, Kelly. Yeah. Yeah, it was worth it. It was worth the round of applause there.
Thank you guys for doing that. That's so nice.
Nicely done.
I'm pumped. We're proud of our IG. It's trying to, you know, we're getting better and better. We're posting behind the scenes stuff and just honored to finally hit 4 digits. It's big time.
I give you a little pat on the back because when we start going through the PGA Championship leaderboard, it's not gonna be quite as good for you.
You know, I needed this today because I had a feeling that my golf situation was not gonna be ideal. So I needed something to pick me up.
You know, actually it's not as bad as it could be or as it was before the show started. It's not as bad as it was before the show started, so we'll update that in a second. This hour brought to you by Locomart in Clemson. Get that marathon gas, put it in your vehicle, and listen to it just hum down the road like a well-oiled machine. There's nothing better than putting good gas in your vehicle and making sure that that baby is purring or roaring. That's what you get with the marathon gas. You also get the food and drink selection, the craft beer. They're open late. They're conveniently located right off of Highway 123 on Highway 93 in Clemson, across from Bojangles. You know it when you see it. I mean, it's right there. It's a fixture of the community now. And the people there on staff, they love their jobs. They're going to tell you, you know, they're going to ask you how you're doing. They're going to converse with you when you go in the store. And I love that about a convenience store. But they're also quick about it. So they're not going to linger or make you linger in there. It's great. Locomart, Marathon Fuel and the American Spirit, there off of Highway 123 in Clemson. Currently the leader, and I can't believe this. Generally speaking, my long shots have been a disaster. You know, my long shots have been a disaster. Kevin Kisner, though, is playing hole number 16. He's actually playing number 7 because he started on the back today. He shot 4 under yesterday. He's 2 under today for his round. Kisner has been money in the bank. That is the reason I'm ahead right now. Rory McIlroy just made birdie on number 8. That's big time for me also because that's his 17th hole. He's now made back-to-back birdies. He was flirting with the cut line there for a minute.
As per usual.
But a couple nice birdies there for Rory. Again, the best player in the history of Quail Hollow in terms of his times out there. Nobody has played Quail Hollow better than him. And he has struggled now at 2 over, 1 over today, was 1 over yesterday. In the foursomes that we picked out yesterday, and we'll get back to the NFL and a little college football in just a minute, Kisner is leading. That's the reason that I'm ahead. And then tied for 5th place, Ricky Fowler at 3 under, who's about to play his 18th hole at number 9. He shot 69 yesterday and is 1 under today. So if he pars 18, it'll be 69-70 for Fowler. Again, tied for 5th at 3 under par. Then my final two, Matt Kuchar at 2 over. Shot even par yesterday and 2 over, 2 over today so far through 15. But again, he's playing that 7, 8, 9 stretch. Has been pretty kind to people. And then McIlroy, who shot 1 over 72 yesterday and is 2 over today. Or actually, rather, he's 1 over today. So he's about to go to plus 2. I just haven't refreshed the page. He's about to go to plus 2 and has gone to plus 2 now with 1 hole to play in his round today. That gives me an aggregate score, Kelly, of 4 under par. four under par for the day, or for the tournament. Sorry. You are being paced by your boy Hideki Matsuyama, who shot 1-under 70 yesterday. Louis Oosthuizen shot 1-under 70 yesterday. Matsuyama should be playing his first hole right now. He should be. I've not seen a score for him yet. I've not seen him on the golf course watching a little bit, but he should be out on the course. Oosthuizen teeing off at 140, starting on the back nine today. Zach Johnson, an even par 71 in yesterday's round. He tees off at 205. And Jordan Spieth at 1 over yesterday, 72. He tees off in just a few minutes, about a half hour from now, at 135. So you are at 1 under. I am at 5 under, or rather 4 under. The good news for you is that all of your golfers have yet to take the course, and the bad news is if they go over par, then you're gonna lose more ground.
New day.
All of my guys are almost done, so they can't really slip very much.
You're picking the early birds.
And they're all, well, it was all late. Remember yesterday, your guys were on the course at the end of the show, and my guys were finished, and my guys were just starting. So it's you flip around the tee times first day, second day. Man, that golf course is playing difficult there at Quail Hollow. I was just talking with Lee Harper a little bit off the air. It feels like they made the golf course really firm and the greens really fast so that when it poured down rain, it would still play tough. But it hadn't rained very much at all. If at all. I'm not sure it's rained at all while they've been on the golf course.
Not much better, if at all.
Oh, nice. Well done. Great segue there. So you still feel good? I mean, none of your guys are on the course yet, so
you know,
or at least have registered.
I'm not going to say good? I feel good. You know, I'm not going to go out there and say that. It's still early. It's Friday in a 4-day tournament, so I'm not hitting the panic button right now. But Spieth has to show up for me. I mean, come on, dude. Come on.
All four of mine are definitely going to make the cut as it stands right now. Again, I was worried about McIlroy. Kuchar was going the wrong direction, but both those guys have righted the ship. Your guys are all in the top 25, so you should be good too. And my FanDuel team, where you pick 8, this is where I've really hit the motherlode here, because I've got McIlroy and Fowler. Fowler's is tied for 5th at 3 under. McIlroy is, again, he's 2 over now, so he's moving in the correct direction. Kuchar's at +2, but then down the list is where I've really picked it up. Kyle Stanley is my only golfer in the 8 that's right now outside the cut line, and he has yet to begin his round. Patrick Reed shot 69 yesterday, 2 under. He's on my team. Steve Stricker is 1 under par for the day. He looks like he's going to make the cut. Kevin Kisner, obviously in the lead, is in my team. And then Bill Haas, who was looking like he wasn't going to make the cut, and then all of a sudden has had a slew of birdies here late in his round. He is now tied for 24th at 1 over par. He's 3 under today. One of the best rounds of the day so far for Bill Haas, Greenville native. So, you know, I pat myself on the back there. I'm firmly in the money, squarely in the money right now for FanDuel. We're going to pay that mortgage right now. We're going to pay with the FanDuel winnings.
I'm concerned about the, I don't know, the stock you're putting in these picks and how you're spending your money and what your mortgage is relying on. I'm very worried about that.
That's okay. We have a poll out right now.
Yeah, so if you're just tuning in, Sammy Watkins was just traded from the Buffalo Bills to the Los Angeles Rams. And so we put out a poll. What's your reaction? You have 3 options. Good news for Sammy, bad news for Sammy, or same old, meaning he doesn't have a quarterback, so it doesn't even matter. And actually, this poll is very closely contested. Right now, 46% say good news, 24% bad news, and 30% same old. So go vote on Twitter at 105.5 The Roar.
Is it bad to say I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach on this? I'd probably go same old right now.
Okay, but you still have to vote today.
Right, I will. Okay. That's why I'm going same old, because...
I think that's probably what a lot of people are going to say.
If you look at cultural fit or just lifestyle fit, L.A. greater than Buffalo.
Yes.
Clearly. If you look at on the football field, you would think that Buffalo is still a better situation because you know your quarterback situation, it's stable. You've got players that you've been there for a number of years, so you've got a rapport with not just a quarterback, but the other receivers there and some of the coaching staff. I mean, there's a comfort level there in Buffalo for Sammy Watkins that won't necessarily be there with the Rams. And then you also have with the Rams, you have this specter of guys who have, much like Watkins, they've, it's almost like a swimmer, like barely poking their head above water, then going back under, like a Tavon Austin. You know, Tavon Austin has shown flashes of being a Pro Bowl type player, and then he goes back under.
Quack. Besides, like you just said, Tavon Austin and Robert Woods, every other wide receiver on the Rams roster, besides Sammy Watkins, is either a second-year player or younger.
There are no vets.
So Sammy Watkins is pretty much going to be the vet besides Tavon Austin.
He'll be a starter.
Which is weird, yeah.
He'll be a starter there.
He'll definitely have a chance to be a leader, and obviously I think he's going to be just fine in terms of playing time. I do like having Todd Gurley. I think that's a benefit for Sammy in terms of that offense, but it's just a matter of who's going to play quarterback. I mean, who's going to throw the ball to him, right?
Do we expect him to be just right now? Snapshot of the moment. We literally just got this news within the last 25 or 30 minutes. Do we believe he's going to be more productive with the Rams than he would have been with Buffalo this year?
This year?
Yeah, this year.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Because this year, in 2017, I would take Tyrod Taylor on my team over Jared Goff, from what I've seen from both guys.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. If we're projecting how these offenses are going to do, just as, you know, not necessarily just from the standpoint of wins and losses, but from the standpoint of offensive football, you would think you got a better chance of enjoying success on the offensive side of things with the Bills than you do with the Rams. I'm looking at FPI right now. FPI for the 2017 season. This is as of a couple of months ago. And in fact, I'm going to see if they've updated this in any way, shape, or form. I'm not sure that they have. They've got the Bills basically a 7-9 team, but the Bills are their 26th team in their power rankings. Again, you can whine and complain about the FPI, but the fact is it's a good way of just sort of taking a bunch of data and throwing it in and giving you a number.
Go ahead.
The Bills are 26 at minus 1.9, whatever that means. The Rams are 29th at minus 5.3. So you're going a little bit worse. Now, probably subtracting Watkins, adding Matthews, subtracting Darby, and adding, the corner they got back in the Watkins trade. I'll look that up in a second. Gaines. For some reason, I couldn't think of it. I mean, maybe the Bills get a neck, and plus they add a couple draft picks. I'm not sure they lose anything there. I don't know that the Rams gain a whole heck of a lot trading Watkins and getting rid of Gaines, but I'm not sure. It's going to take a little time to show how these offenses and defenses gel with these new pieces. This is a little bit odd. After one preseason game to have this type of roster turnover if you're the Buffalo Bills, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad move, and I'm not sure it's a bad move for Watkins. I just don't know. There's a lot we have to wait and see before we dub this a good or a bad move. Because it's not just this trade, particularly from the Buffalo perspective. Buffalo is sort of replacing Watkins with Jordan Matthews, which if you look at productivity, is probably a wash in terms of per-game productivity when they're healthy and on the field.
Well, Zach gets in on Twitter, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Quack, but Sammy becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2018.
Yes, he's done after this season.
So, in the end, he goes to LA for this year. He makes the most of it, I guess. Maybe Jared Goff does play and improves and he can catch some passes. But after this season, he'll pretty much get to choose where he wants to go. So that is a positive. He's not stuck in LA forever by any means, and he could end up staying in LA. But the other side of that too is that you would think that maybe for his last year in Buffalo, you'd rather have Tyrod Taylor to at least put up some numbers. Whereas you go to LA with a quarterback situation that is just nowhere near figured out, you don't have time to sit there and wait for it to get figured out because this is your free agent year. I mean, you need to have a good year. So I think there's positives and negatives. The bottom line, though, is that he will get to have at least a good amount of say in where he wants to play football after this season in LA.
Oh, no question. There's no question. And maybe a change of scenery will be good because it shows, and we talk about this all the time, guys have value for their teams, and then they have value in the league. If you played in the same place, then your value is a little bit of a question mark. If you've got injury concerns or what have you, maybe your value is less in the league than it is to your specific roster. But if you go to another team and you have some success, Then all of a sudden your league-wide value goes up a bit. So from that perspective, certainly this is a plus for Watkins if he can stay healthy and have some success on the field this season. Now, that's contingent upon his health and contingent upon some other things, but I think to that point that you're still looking at a situation where Watkins, if the quarterback situation stabilized over the Rams, that he could thrive.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it hinges more on his health than it does who the quarterback is in terms of can he become the player that people think he can be.
I agree. Health is the biggest thing with Sammy. And ESPN Stats and Info just tweeted this. I thought it was a good number. Sammy Watkins' yards per reception rate over the past three seasons is the fourth best in the NFL. So he's been successful, A, when he's been healthy. And, I mean, I would say maybe the quarterback situation is kind of on the list as Section B right now. Section A is, can he be healthy for the whole year? And a lot of teams are going to be watching that if he wants to, you know, head over to whatever city next as a free agent. So that's going to be the most important thing. And bottom line, too, is he's a Florida kid. To go from Buffalo to L.A. has to be a positive, right?
I would think so, yeah. Climate-wise, yes.
Just for the guy, for Sammy Watkins, I'm happy for him to get out of Buffalo. That has to be a positive.
654-ROAR is the number you want to get in on the Northland Communication phone lines today. 654-7627, the number 986-1566. The text line's open, 986-1566. At Qualk Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 105.5 The Roar. We encourage you to get in with us on the show any of those ways, the text line, the phone line, or on Twitter. When we come back, I've got one or two more thoughts on the NFL, and then we'll get to some college football stuff. The anonymous coach comments have become sort of an offseason staple. SI has some of them, and they're kind of fascinating. Also, we've got one or two other topics with college football that will kind of bounce around. And Kelly has her trifecta as well here on a Friday. Hour two of the program brought to you by Money & Company Real Estate. If you're considering a new home this year, one of the first steps to assess your finances, the professionals at Money & Company Real Estate can help. Call them 639-1188. Hour two continues in a moment. Stay with us.
Upstate, listen. Waymore Transportation is hiring experienced dump truck driving professionals to operate late model automatic trucks. For more information and applications, go to waymoretrans.com. That's waymoretrans.com.
Auto window tinting can make a big difference in your vehicle's value and its comfort. If it's not done right, it can be a nightmare. Garrett Wilson and his team at Tint Solutions can easily provide unsurpassed precision artistry in window tinting with a 100% lifetime guarantee. Tint Solutions and Easley offers premium window tint films and the largest selection in the upstate. Ask about free upgrades when you mention 105.5 The Roar. Tint Solutions Easley, 630-3164.
I'm Eddie Bennett. Thank you for helping me and my associates grow our business into its 18th year. Without you, we wouldn't have been able to become the go-to dealer for Link Belt equipment. We're proud to offer equipment rental, sales, and repair, in many cases right there on your job site. And you've enabled Bennett Equipment to grow into a third location in Seneca, which will open in August. We're online at BennettEquipment.net. Thank you, and remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
With summer here, shouldn't you look as hot as a burger on the grill? If you want to look and feel as hot as noon on a summer day in the South, call Urban Nirvana. With the best stylists around, you'll get the kind of pampering you deserve. And the day spa will have you feeling as cool as a cucumber. And being able to buy a gift certificate online is better than a splash in the pool. Log on to UrbanNirvana.com, buy your gift certificate, and print it right from your own computer. Urban Nirvana, Magpie Station in downtown Greenville.
Why shop Reed's Jewelers? Better yet, why not? Reed's Jewelers invites you to make them your jeweler, and you'll soon discover why so many like you now shop Reed's. From their award-winning staff to their impressive selection of jewelry to their customer-friendly financing, Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, invites you to join the thousands of customers who have started a relationship with them. We'd love to see you. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk, online at Reed's.com. Everybody knows the story. You can't sleep on a bed that's too hard. You can't sleep on a bed that's too soft. But you can sleep on a bed that's just right. Engineered sleep might not have been around when Goldilocks was written, but they know that a bed that's just right is made just for you. It's not just a fairy tale. They actually build a mattress based on your sleep habits and patterns so that you can get that Goldilocks kind of sleep. And if after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process and learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there's no middleman. Factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking your mattress up instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
If you are in need of eye care and would like a more personal experience, consider Westminster Vision. We are locally owned and staffed with three convenient locations to serve you in Clemson, Pendleton, and of course Westminster. We offer a large selection of eyewear and all types of medical care, even on Saturdays. So for quick, reasonable service you can trust, call us for an appointment at 646-3535.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Oh. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yes.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
Lay where you're laying. Don't make a sound. I know the watching. The watching. All the commotion.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Oh, my word. This just in, breaking news. Kevin Kisner just, did he just eagle 16? Yeah. Eagle 16. Little 8 under par. Kevin Kisner sprinting out to a 4-shot lead at Quail Hollow.
After today, I'm going to have to ban the words Kevin Kisner from this show.
Oh, buddy. Looks like you're going to be paying for all your golf. Oh, man.
You have said Kevin Kisner 17 times.
Oh, my God. Well, he's 4 shots up.
Is he leading the whole thing?
He's leading
the
whole, yeah. Oh, yeah, not just us.
Good grief.
Second place, Thorbjørn Olsen. Thorbjørn meaning Thunder Bear, which is unbelievable.
It's a great name.
What a name. What a name.
Oh, by the way, texter who asked about the all-name team a few days ago.
Uh-huh.
It's coming.
It's coming.
The college football all-name team.
Oh, yeah, it's coming.
That's a staple of our preseason coverage here on Out of Bounds.
That was a long time ago. Are we just now responding to that?
No. It just came to my mind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, oof.
That we need to remind people that it's coming.
Damn, it is coming. Boy, we got high school football coming. A week from today, we got...
kickoff show.
Kickoff show in 6 days.
Football.
Little scrimmage tomorrow.
Tiger pregame show. Tiger tailgate show.
I know there are people tuning in right now that are going, gosh, you know, they haven't said anything about Clemson. And that's sort of by design. At this point in the first week of practice, you really don't have anything else to say until the scrimmage on Saturday. We can kind of update things, see how people respond to different situations. And in my case, I've only been out to practice once, like a week ago. So there's not a whole lot to say.
Well, we do have anonymous coaches and anonymous scouting reports of each top 10 team. And so, obviously, Clemson will be in there. And those are going to be fun. Those are coming up soon.
For sure. This hour of the program is brought to you by our friends at First Team Sports. Go by and see them. First Team Sports is the place to go to get those varsity jackets, get the jerseys in the back. They've got sporting goods galore there. The most friendly people that you'll ever meet ever in your life work at First Team Sports. It's unbelievable. They have the try before you buy policy that's terrific. And they also have baseball, softball, football, knickknacks, cleats, sliding shorts, pants, jerseys, hats, whatever you need, they got you covered. You get you on the back end of the summer ball circuit. They can replace all the gear that you've just blown out over the last couple months. First Team Sports, 2520 White Hampton Boulevard in Greenville. One other thing about the NFL, you know, we talked about Mitchell, and we talked about Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kizer, who had a great debut for the Browns. I mean, all three.
Deshaun Kizer.
Kizer Sose. Look that one up. Had a great debut for the Browns and the Bears and the Texans, respectively, relative to expectations. So there's nobody real. I don't think people are putting these guys, like Brett Freelander said, you know, let's not put them in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure people are doing that. I just think people understand that they played well. Like, can we not say that the guys played well this game without having people think that we're saying that they're going to go to the Hall of Fame or whatever?
I would hope so.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, bottom line is, were expectations really that low for all three of these guys?
I think
Trubisky was the number two pick in the draft. Now, I understand that a lot of people thought he shouldn't have gone that high. I get that.
Well, and that's why. Because he got destroyed.
But he still was the number two pick for a reason.
He did get destroyed, though.
I mean,
though.
The guy's not terrible.
A lot of people thought he was a horrible pick at number two. So, I get that.
And Deshaun Kizer, he looked good for the Browns. But, look.
And you know what?
Good things don't last there.
Like, Brock Osweiler. I mean, and here's the thing. Kizer shows up and goes 11 of 18, 184, and a touchdown. And, yeah, he's going against twos and threes and whatever. But then you have Brock Osweiler, who goes 6 of 14, 42 yards. Cody Kessler, 5 of 10, 47 yards. Those are supposed to be your rookies. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Basically nothing to write home about. And that's why people are getting excited about these young quarterbacks. Because, yeah, you could have Osweiler, who's back there taking his five-step drop, and he's going to survey the field and throw a nice, neat check down for 3 yards. Or you have this guy in Kizer who's going to make some plays. Now, is there going to be some negative? Do you want him necessarily going up against the ones? No. But when you've got milk toast, run-of-the-mill, boring, I'll just say it, white quarterbacks who look like every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's ever played quarterback in the NFL in a very average way, and then you get these young guys coming out there, and no matter who they're playing against, they just look different. They look more athletic. They look like they have a feel for the position. They look like they have a flair and a little bit more pizzazz about them. The people are going to get excited.
Tom, Mike, and Brock.
Tom, Mike, and Brock.
Every Tom, Mike, and Brock you've seen out there.
Hey, Cody Kessler and Brock Osweiler, who are supposed to be, you know, verifiably decent at quarterback, combined to go 11 of 24 for 89 yards. I would imagine that not, you know, people make it sound like those guys were going against only number ones, and they're just, the number ones are out there, and they're just clawing them to death, and there's another. And then these backup quarterbacks come in, and it's these little frou-frou guys who aren't going to make the roster. They're, like, skipping around, and they're not tough or fast or talented at all. These little frou-frou guys running around in skirts, like, playing a position, frolicking around like ballerinas. Like, you still got second-teamers. You still got guys that are going to make the 53-man roster going against guys. So when everyone says, oh, he's going up against the twos. So? Who cares? Half the ones are going to get hurt anyway. There's going to be a team winning the Super Bowl where the majority of your starters at some point this year are going to be twos because your ones are all hurt.
Perfect example of this is, no offense to Ben Bulwer, but I mean, that's a guy who's probably, you know, he's on the edge of making the roster or not. And he's a three, you know, maybe a four, whatever you want to call him. He didn't go in until the last 5 minutes of the game.
Correct.
So if you want to think about it in that way, it's not all guys that aren't making rosters here that Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kizer, and Mitchell Trubisky are going up against.
And also, there's this thing where, like, 11 of 18 is not that, you know, it's not 6 of 14. You know what 6 of 14 against the, like, let's say 6 of 14 against the ones is like, what, 9 of 12 against the twos? Like, when you're averaging 15, 13, whatever it is, yards of completion, like Kizer was, and you look at Osweiler averaging 7 yards of completion, to me, that's not the difference between playing against ones and playing against twos. That's a difference plus. Kizer looks better than Osweiler. He looks better than Kessler, mm-hmm. even when you factor in the level of competition he's playing against.
Bottom line is, last year, Quack, weren't we really bored with a lot of quarterbacks in this league?
It was boring.
It was really boring. And so it's better for the consumer. It's better for the NFL. It's better for those teams and their fans to have some exciting youth in there to replace, like you said, your Tom, Mike, and Cody's that we just don't care about.
I mean, then you go to Chicago. You mentioned Mike.
Mike.
Glad you mentioned Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Mitchell Trubisky goes 18 to 25, a buck 66 and a touchdown, okay? Which, again, you don't freak out. Nobody freaking out about that. But then you look at these alleged developed quarterbacks where everyone's like, huh, well, if they were going against ones like Mike Glennon and
Mike
Mark
Glennon's
Sanchez.
Mike Glennon's paycheck sure is developed.
Mike Glennon and Mark Sanchez combined to go 3 for 12 for 24 yards and an interception, and Mike Glennon's passer rating was 0.00000000. It's zero. It's nothing. Zero. You can't have a worse passer rating than Mike Glennon did. So I ask you.
You still didn't say as many zeros in his paycheck.
If Mike Glennon played against the twos, would he be playing as well as Mitchell Trubisky against the twos? You go 2 for 8 for 20 yards? I'm saying no. I don't think the gap between the ones and the twos is that dramatic in the NFL. Like people were saying about Deshaun Watson, well, if they had, and they would list off the guys. Well, if they had such as a, or like the Panthers. Well, if J.J. Watt and Clowney were out there. Well, is J.J. Watt and Clowney being replaced by Scrubby Magoo and Nonsense McGee? No, I mean, those guys are making $1 million, right? I mean, no, they're not stars, but they're capable of making a play. They make a tackle. We make it seem like the backups in the NFL are like the worst players that have ever played the game. Like guys who would be sitting the bench at every college.
And not just backups, but backups who are fighting tooth and nail to make a team.
Right.
So probably the most motivated backups in the history of time.
So it's not like we're taking Deshaun Watson and going, wow, he was 7 of 14, but did you see the ball glide out of his hand? Now, the only thing that we will say is, and I believe this, that if you anoint a guy starter, that just playing well is not enough to unseat that guy. Just playing well is not enough to unseat that guy. If a guy is your starter, Tom Savage, then he's got to play poorly. And Tom Savage did not play poorly. Tom Savage is definitely a Tom, Dick, and Harry. He's definitely just a guy. But he efficiently executed his job as the guy. So if I can make do with Tom Savage while Deshaun Watson fully wades in to the NFL, I'd rather do that. But if you're asking me to hit the brakes on Trubisky as if Trubisky's numbers aren't vastly more impressive than what Glennon or Sanchez did, even factoring in the players in which they... The players they played against, or Kizer, so much better than alleged actual NFL players. We talk about these guys like they're not NFL players, and like Osweiler and Kessler are. Osweiler and Kessler completing half their passes, and Kizer going and showing out like he did. I'm not just going to sit back and be like, well, let's wait and see when they play against the ones, as if the only good players in the NFL are the 11 that start.
Yes.
I'm just not doing that.
I'm with you, Quack. I mean, I get, to a certain extent, I get people's reservations in that it is just preseason football, right?
It is not
the real deal. And I understand that. And it's just one game. And for Deshaun Watson, it was just two quarters, you know? So to go ahead, like Brett was saying, and put them in Canton is outrageous. And I totally
agree with
that. And that's kind of the point. Even with Quack's excited tone, the whole point of this is that we're trying not to overreact. But it's okay to react. Is that fair?
I think we're in danger of underreacting to this. Like, I've seen so many people trying to make everyone relax about this. And I feel like people are acting like, what, like Cody Kessler has nothing to prove. Like Brock Osweiler has nothing. Like the only ones with anything to prove are Watson and Kizer and Trubisky. And like Mike Glennon doesn't have. Mike Glennon just got signed to an outrageous contract. He has plenty to prove. And he went out and went 2 for 8. Mitchell Trubisky has everything to prove, and he went out and went 18 for 25. I don't understand why people are underreacting. They're like, well, let's wait and see. Can we not have an opinion right now and change it next week? I just feel like that's okay. It's okay to say Trubisky vastly outperformed Glennon and milquetoast Tom, Dick, and Harry, Kessler, and Osweiler were outperformed by Kizer, and Watson looked great, even though Tom Savage looked really good too. And we can say all those three things without putting any of those rookies in the Hall of Fame. Then you've got this overreaction by Leonard Fournette. God help him. This guy has no idea what he's doing. Leonard Fournette, who is playing for a team that frankly has no expectations. He's literally only watching the Jaguars in practice. I mean, think about what do you know about the Jaguars? What have you seen from the Jaguars camp so far? Anybody? Do you have any images from Jaguars camp? Chase, let's get the interns in on this. Chase, any images from Jaguars camp so far?
I don't know if I can name five players on the Jaguars.
Okay. Sanders, any images from Jaguars camp so far?
No, nothing from the camp. I just did see them beat the Patriots last night, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, they beat Jimmy Garoppolo and the Patriots. I mean, winning games not a big deal. But here's the thing. The only thing I know about Jaguars camp so far is that, remember Sheldon What's-His-Face that was doing the drill with the dummy and like ran through it and busted his face?
Basically, the dummy won.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know anything good about the Jaguars, but I do know that they had the most embarrassing defensive line drill. So Leonard Fournette, with basically that as his experience and not Tom Brady and the Patriots.
No offense to Marion Hobby.
Right, correct. He told NFL.com, quote, "It's a lot slower than I really thought. That's how I've been since I first got into the NFL. A lot of people were like, it's going to be fast. But by me playing in the SEC, that kind of helped me a lot. I think to me, it was really easy," close quote. Now, Fournette said this. Just given those comments, what do you think his stat line was last night? In the easy, slow SEC prepare me NFL.
He ran for 200 yards.
He ran for 200. What'd he do, Sanders? What'd he do? The easy, slow NFL where he's God. He's God over the NFL because he played in the SEC.
Did he score a couple times, two times?
Did he score a couple times? Maybe so. Chase, what'd the guy do?
Maybe he had like 16 yards rushing, like maybe one touchdown. Nothing too much.
See, that's what I'm saying. 9 carries, 31 yards, and he scored on a one-yard run. But, man, it was so easy. It was so easy he couldn't even hit 3.5 yards a carry. The easy, slow NFL. Let me tell you something. If the vast majority of NFL experience is Jaguars practice, you probably shouldn't comment on the speed of the game. See, I feel like that's why people are so hesitant to adequately react, why we underreact to things. Because then you have Leonard Fournette's overreaction saying, actually, the NFL is kind of easy. It's kind of simple, like an idiot.
Some of those teams in Leonard Fournette's division that he played in that SEC, Ole Miss, 120th in rushing yards allowed per game. Mississippi State, 70th. Oh, there's more. A&M, 80th.
Oh, yeah. Boy, the speed, though.
Arkansas,
the speed
94th.
It was harder to go against Arkansas than it was the Patriots last night.
LSU was 13th.
But the Jaguars in practice.
So
woof.
I guess he was going against... Hey, maybe going against that LSU D-line in practice is a little more difficult than going against the Jags D-line. So I'll give him that. But that's the only thing I'll give him.
I mean, he legitimately said he could have Ezekiel Elliott's year. He could be Ezekiel Elliott. Does he know that Ezekiel Elliott had the best offensive line in the league blocking for him last year?
Who's his O-line?
I feel like Leonard Fournette. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's been hanging out in the same shops as Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, this guy is like, I mean, what kind of drugs is this guy on hallucinating like this? He has no idea. He thinks he's frolicking with rainbows and unicorns in practice every day. He has no idea what's going on. I don't believe this for a second, but that's why we don't overreact or adequately react. Because you have stupid Leonard Fournette saying nonsense like this.
Quack's reaction. We'll just say it was a reaction.
Ridiculous.
Allergic reaction to the NFL preseason. This segment has been brought to you by Retirement Funding Advisors. RFA is a fee-only investment advisory firm with a focus on qualified retirement plans. With the new regulations becoming effective June 10th, it is very important that business owners are aware of their obligations. Rick and Carson will help you do just that. They have the knowledge and the experience to make sure you have a successful 401k plan. They're both Clemson guys, both Clemson grads. They can help you. They have a small business-like approach, but they can do everything the big conglomerates can do. Call Carson today at 864-430-8544. They've been doing this for 30 years, and they can help you with your retirement plan.
Thanks very much, Kelly. Short break. Hour two continues, and we return in a moment.
The excitement is building for the 2017 football season, and we're ready to hit the field with our annual Blue Ridge Security Priority 1 College Football Kickoff Show, August 17th at Twin Peaks. The show will be broadcast live from 5 until 8 with every host, breaking down the analysis for the upcoming season for every conference, national championship picture, Heisman, and more. Everything you need to know. Brought to you by Twin Peaks, Urban Nirvana, Engineered Sleep and Tent Solutions. The Blue Ridge Security Priority One College Football Kickoff Show, August 17th.
No matter where you're going, you'll see hundreds of convenience stores along your route. What sets Locomart in Clemson apart? Quality gasoline at awesome prices? Yes. Rewards to help you save even more money? Yes. But you'll also find a huge craft beer selection at Locomart that you wouldn't find at a normal convenience store. There's only one stop you need to make. Locomart on Old Greenville Highway and Highway 123. Proudly locally owned and operated. Marathon. Fueling the American spirit.
Have you been in search for that perfect job opportunity? Well, look no further, because Carolina Heating Service is currently looking for individuals to expand their team. Locally owned and operated for over 35 years, we specialize in generators, electrical services, residential light, commercial HVAC sales, service and installation, as well as geothermal systems. Top professional opportunities available anywhere from electricians, installers, service technicians, management, and customer service reps. Worried about benefits? Carolina Heating Service has you covered. Enjoy paid holidays and vacation days, a 401k, training programs, major insurance, and full-time year-round stable work, as well as overtime opportunity. Basic qualifications include a drug test, background check, and physical, as well as a valid driver's license. Other qualifications are subject to position applying for. The search could be over for you soon. Make that career leap. Apply now at CarolinaHeating.com and join our award-winning team.
Zero Res's Empowered Water Cleaner can be used on any surface. Start the school year off right by using zero harsh chemicals and leaving zero residue behind. August 1st through 11th, mention my name Mickey and get three rooms for $115, and book by August 11th and get a free bottle of Zero Res's Empowered Water Spot Cleaner. Call 558-7300 or visit ZeroResGreenville.com for your appointment. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean. And don't forget to ask about their air duct cleaning special.
Oh, hey, Ange.
Well, law, look at that smile on your face.
Well, why not, Andy? The bees are humming, the birds are chirping, and the flowers are blooming. I tell you, Andy, summer's wonders are everywhere.
Well, barn summer's been here since June. I reckon we're all kind of getting used to it by now.
Oh, you're a real comedian, you are. Why don't you get a late-night talk show?
Now, come on, barn, I was just kidding with you.
Say, did you hear that little Jamie Ferguson is getting a new Toyota?
Well, no, but I bet he went to RalphHaysToyota.com.
Well, yeah, how'd you know?
Because I'd be dogged to think. Ain't got them a bushel of fine used vehicles, including certified Toyotas.
Well, you know, that's what little Jamie got, was a certified used 2017 Camry.
And he only paid $17,998.
Well, how'd you know all that?
Well, it could be because I'm sheriff, or it could be because me and Bunky Gandy just got off the phone.
Oh, you know everything. You know
now,
that?
Now's the time. Go to RalphHaysToyota.com and click on the e-price to get the best price. RalphHaysToyota.com.
Be sure to come to Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road for the annual WCCP College Football Kickoff Show, Thursday, August 17th from 5 to 8 p.m. There'll be plenty of giveaways, cold beer, and great food at WCCP's College Football Kickoff Show at Twin Peaks, August 17th.
Hey, Tiger fans, don't miss your chance to see the defending national champions in Death Valley this year. Clemson Tiger football single game tickets for select games are now available for purchase on ClemsonTigers.com. Be sure and reserve your tickets today as availability is limited. The 2017 season features another great home schedule, and this is your chance to be part of the action. Log on to ClemsonTigers.com to purchase your tickets, and we'll see you in Memorial Stadium.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Now we can start the celebration.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
The seconds you walked through the door, I caught a buzz. One taste from your lips, now me, I'm just like a drug. The rest of the night's kind of blue.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hour two continues. David and Seneca, fair question. How does Fournette know the speed of the SEC? He was out every game.
Ooh. 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 Ooh.
You can't hit me with these jokes right when we come back because the music's still playing. It's logistics.
Oh, boy. Chris from Captured says they're throwing to the twos as well. So, yeah, they were against the twos, but their teammates were also twos. That's fair. It's very true. Let's try
two
not to...
Two great points.
Let's try not to minimize if Cody Kessler goes 4 for 15 and Kaiser goes 11 for 14 and we're like, whoa, hey. Kaiser's still going against the twos as if there wasn't a dramatic difference in the productivity. Let's give these guys a chance to be rookies, too. We don't need to lock into these opinions. This hour is brought to you by Christopher Trucks. A little college football here in this segment as well. Christopher Trucks, they hook you up, Kelly.
You bet they do. Christopher Trucks, 66 years in business. That means you know them here in the upstate. They have great brand recognition with all their customers. They started in 1951, four generations. They sell all sorts of trucks. They have over 4 million in new and used inventory in stock, which is at least 60 trucks. Their portfolio includes work-ready trucks, dump trucks, landscape trucks, box trucks, Sprinter vans, my personal favorite, Isuzu, OTR, Freightliner, and Western Star, steak bodies, flatbeds, etc. I mean, literally, anything you can need in the truck world, Christopher Trucks has it. They're open. Their service department is open 7 a.m. to 12 midnight. You can't find better service anywhere. Check them out, ChristopherTrucks.com. You will not be sorry.
Thanks very much, Kelly. Now, your thoughts before we get into this, these anonymous coach, what's the word, analyses of the top 25. What's your thought about the anonymous quote?
So basically what we have here are anonymous scouting reports of each top 25 team in college football. I think today we're going to mainly focus on the top 10. We've got thoughts on that. Yeah. We only have so much time.
Correct.
Do we have enough time? But basically, I want to go through these, give you some of the key points from each of these anonymous scouting reports, and then you tell me if you agree and if they miss anything. I mean, what else would you add to the William Quackenbush scouting report for these teams? And what they said about Clemson is really interesting as well. And all these other top 10 schools.
Speaking of that, remember that there was a bit, I'm not sure we really talked about that much on the show, but there was a bit of backlash to Athlon where, you know, an opposing coach said that Clemson steals your signs.
Ooh.
And the teams that had success against them were Pittsburgh and NC State. That came from an anonymous, and because they huddle. So you can't steal, like, no huddle signs. You know what I'm saying? So Clemson not only scouts your formations and tendencies, but they scout your signs. I don't see anything wrong with that. You're doing signs like out in the open. People can see you in the box or on the sideline or whatever, and they know what is coming. I don't see anything wrong with that. But a lot of people got their dander raised. They got all in a tizzy about that on both sides of that issue. I think people are going to feel some type of way about Clemson's stuff coming up here too.
I mean, that's not as bad as having a mole.
Wake Forest. God bless you, Wake Forest. You gave us jokes for years to come.
Bless your heart, Wake Forest. We love you.
You can do this.
Keep your head up.
Let's get one or two of these. I'm intrigued by some of the thoughts here.
All right, let's start with, of course, Alabama, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, so basically, anonymous scouting report. I'll give you the key points here for Bama. This is what they said. They said they wanted Hurts to beat us throwing the football. He has a strong arm and he can get hot, but he isn't consistent. He drove them down the field to win the national championship. It just so happens Deshaun Watson drove his team to win the national championship right after that. So in regards to Jalen Hurts, that's where the scouting report starts. They basically say you try to make him beat you with his arm. He has a strong arm and he can get hot, but he's not consistent. Pretty sure you're buying that.
I'm definitely buying that. That's not even anonymous. You literally could have picked anybody out of a crowd that could have said that. I'm not even sure what analysis I could give there that's any better than what they just gave.
We all agree on that.
Yes.
Defensively, this is what the coaches say about Alabama. They've got some cats to replace up front on defense. Talent is not the issue, but experience matters.
Huh. So basically what they're saying is they're not going to be as good up front.
I think what they're saying is obviously, you know, it's a next man up mentality and they have the talent to replace, but they did lose a lot of experience on that front line. They continue on defensively, Alabama, they're not exotic, but they play with great fundamentals. And they continue, you beat them by making contested catches one-on-one against those long corners like Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, the development of Alabama on defense, I don't think there's going to be a significant drop-off. If they drop off from, I don't know, 2-4, 1-3, mm-hmm. not significant with the experienced guys that they lose experience all the time, and it doesn't seem to matter on the defensive side.
Do you buy that you beat them by making contested catches one-on-one against those corners?
Yeah.
I think, obviously, we saw that with Mike Williams and Jordan Leggett and all those guys making great catches in the national championship. But I think part of it, too, is you also beat them by holding your own up front. I mean, that's part of it, right?
You have to hold your own up front.
You have to establish some sort of run game. You can throw the ball up to Mike Williams all you want, but if you haven't established some sort of run game in between the tackles, then it's not going to work.
I think the point is valid, though, in their scheme. Think about the two national championship games. How many wide-open receivers did Clemson have? You know, Clemson had the two or three or four coverage busts. Basically, every time O.J. Howard ran a wheel route, somebody busted.
Please don't say his name.
So
it just gives me PTSD.
So even a defense like Clemson's, PTSD, is it? Even a defense like Clemson's that had a lot of talent and was very, very good, elite in the country for 2 years, busted on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
The point, I think, is Alabama doesn't bust in coverage. They always have guys to make a play. And so even if you do everything right, there's still going to be a guy there, and you still have to be able to make the play.
Right.
Again, and so that's the point.
Right. Back to they're not exotic, but they play with great fundamentals.
I would agree with that.
They don't make mistakes.
You can do that when your personnel is elite all over the place.
So you're good with that Bama scouting report. Anything you would add?
No, not really. And I don't beef with anything they said except for this, you know, this sort of understood that, well, maybe they might be a little worse up front this year.
I do want to add this in. We also had some anonymous coach quotes about coaches. When it comes to Bama, these two quotes about Nick Saban are hilarious. Are you ready?
Where was this? Where was the quotes about coaches?
That was on CBS Sports.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you ready for these?
Uh-huh.
Basically, they're saying Nick Saban's overrated is what these quotes say. The first one says, quote, Nick's got a lot of advantages. Again, this is an anonymous coach. In my conference, you could take 5 or 6 of us, get there a month before the season, and win 12 games. There's a little blanking machine underneath that stadium, and they grow them there, end quote.
So essentially, people are saying that Nick Saban's overrated because he recruits well?
I guess. I think, and also he's saying that you could take 5 or 6 coaches from my conference, get them there in July in Tuscaloosa, and they could win 12 games there.
I agree with that, except for that feels like, you know, like Andrew Whitman says, that's what a loser says. That's what a loser says because 5 or 6 coaches there couldn't recruit that type of player to Alabama.
But,
so you got to give Saban credit for getting those basically bionic men in there.
This guy's saying they don't recruit, they grow them.
They grow them there.
They grow them under the blanking
like
stadium.
They just, like Frankenstein's monster, there's a lab up under there.
And now you
Wouldn't
know
shock
that
me.
That was Lane Kiffin. Anyway, just kidding. The second quote about Nick Saban, this is my favorite quote. We're going to have a war. You're going to have a howitzer, and I'm going to have a musket. And then every time you win, we'll say you're brilliant. End quote. He's saying, you're Nick Saban and you have a machine gun, and I'm, you know, Butch Jones, and I have literally, like, a bow and arrow. The advantage is too great.
I get it. I get it, and I support it. I support that. Because, I mean, think about what I say all the time. You know, I hate to even bring this up because I don't want to start this conversation again. But it goes back to the, like, Tony Romo versus Troy Aikman thing. Or, you know, Phil Jackson versus whoever. Phil Jackson versus Rick Adelman or whoever. Name your coach. Mike D'Antoni. If you're given great talent and you win the game, it doesn't mean that you out-tacticked, that you out-schemed the opposing coach. If I have lesser talent and we play a close game, then I might have beaten you as a coach, but you get the win. I understand this. I mean, you could call it jealousy or whatever from opposing coaches that would essentially say that Saban gets a lot of technical credit when really his major advantage is in personnel. I don't think that there are people out there saying that Saban's... Like, I think when I think of Alabama, I don't think of great tactical advantage. I think of Alabama as kind of straightforward. They do what they do. They hit you in the mouth. They pound you with their people. And that's how they win. I think that's sort of a misread of how people feel about Saban. Maybe Saban is a great tactician, but I don't think he has to be at Alabama. He's winning with people, not with scheme.
Right. And there's a difference, too, between saying he's a great tactician and he's a great developer.
Right.
I think Nick Saban's system and what he does at Bama, yes, he recruits guys that are incredible, but he does develop them. I think the development piece is very good at Bama. The tactician piece and the technician, whatever, however you want to call it, no one's ever really going to say that that's Nick Saban. But also, that's the nature of college football. No one really says that about Coach Sweeney. It's just kind of your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator, those are your technicians, and then your head man is the recruiter and the CEO. But I get what you're saying.
Saban does have a lot to do with that defense. And, of course, if you think his defense is sort of, you know, what you see is what you get, and they're just going to make you make a play, if that's what it is, then you're going to say, this guy's, you know, I've got a scheme to beat that, but he doesn't have to scheme to beat me. He's got the players. From a coach's perspective, I understand it, and I think that's where coaches maybe feel like Saban gets the benefit of the doubt, and they don't, even though they have disadvantages to overcome that he doesn't.
They have a musket, and he has a machine gun.
Right. So I agree with that more than some of the other stuff people are saying about Alabama and this whole exercise.
Texter says, why doesn't Georgia win then? We'll get to that in these anonymous scouting reports.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. According to anonymous coaches, it has to do with toughness. We'll get there.
Very interesting.
Of course, they're not in the top 10, so we'll get there at some other time.
We also have a fun trifecta for you coming up.